Welcome to another edition of Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient and modern mysteries all across the globe. So tonight we're going to start with the Americas. I've been researching Central and South America, and as you know, there's just jungles and all sorts of pyramids and mounds and strong evidence of the Anunnaki being present even before the Indians and the Incas. They certainly refer to these long-lost giants that were here and that started off civilization and gave initial help to the Incas, who then built their cities and so forth. And I like studying about the Americas, Central and South America and Peru, because it's more recent. The Europeans showed up in the 1500s, and the Anunnaki, if you follow our ancient astronaut theory, were present from 1000 BC to about 1000 AD. So you've only got a gap of 500 years there, and that's not much when you're talking about the kind of historical research that we do in this field. So with the Europeans showing up in 1500, and the priests writing down what the Indians told them, it was still pretty fresh knowledge, and the Anunnaki had just left 500 years before. I know it's a long time, 500 years, but once again, historically speaking, it's not that long. So there's some really good key specific information, and let's get to some of it now. The highest lake in the world is called Lake Titicaca, and it's in Peru. And it's about 13,000 feet high, and the story goes that after the Great Flood, and all of these cultures around the world that believe in this Great Flood receded, the Anunnaki, the giants, came to the first dry lands where there was fresh water, and that was Lake Titicaca. And they established this city of the gods that it's up there to this day. If you want to go 13,000 feet above sea level, you can see it. It's called Pumapunku and Tiwanaku. A lot of remnants of pyramids and such, and metalsmithing and metalworking, because that's what the Anunnaki were all about, was gold and silver and copper and tin mining. That's why they were here on this planet. And so anyway, there's two islands on this lake, and researchers have found some strange pictogram writing, and it looks like little symbols and pictures of like a little man or throwing arrows or a picture of a sun or a dolphin or just all kinds of little pictograms. It's a very unique kind of writing, and it has never been deciphered. And what's fascinating is that it's the same writing that you see on Easter Island, which is that tiny little island out way out in the middle of the Pacific. And it's called Rongo-Rongo on the Easter Island area. And that has never been deciphered either, but there's a direct relationship. And, you know, of course, all those huge statues were left behind by some unknown group. They went to all this trouble to carve 800 large statues and then just abandon the project. Well, here we have a direct correlation to this city of the gods way up in the top of Peru and this tiny island out in the middle of the Pacific, Easter Island. And so it's pretty mind-blowing when you have that kind of strong connection, and that's a little piece of the spider web that I connected this week. And I'm researching with some of the Zachariah Sitchin books, and he goes into very elaborate detail into these, like I said, these little strands of the spider web that connects it all together, this giant puzzle. And boy, if you like puzzles and mysteries, I urge you to just dive into the whole ancient astronaut, chariots of the gods, theory, and just, it's so fascinating. It's so enriching to learn about, kind of like going backstage into history. So, anyway, I have a nice, clean, easy to see and read website app. It's called mysteryislands.net. Mysteryislands.net. I am the producer of three films on the ancient astronaut theory. And you can see them there in large detail. I've blown up the DVDs so you can read in intricate detail. I'm very specific in my research, like the story I just related to you. I don't like talking in generalities. I want specific details. And my three DVDs are loaded with pictures of specific details. And so let's move on and talk about the Tired Stone. What is the Tired Stone? Well, if you go to Peru, it's this giant blocks. It's clearly been carved out, and it's about 30 tons. It's very heavy, and it's kind of never made its way to its destination, which is Sacsayhuaman, which is a giant walled fortress, almost like built for giants, not really on a human scale. All of the gateways and the arches are more for the giants that we read about in the Old Testament, like Goliath, that generally, from the research I found, are about 16 feet tall, around that range, maybe some less, but around 15, 16 feet. So very high up in Peru, some of these stones never made it to the destination because the Anunnaki, as usual, just abandoned their project. They go to all this trouble, and then they stop it abruptly, as with Easter Island. So that's one reason why I don't believe the Indians or the locals made these projects, because I feel they would have completed them. This tradition would have been handed down from time to time in generations, and the projects would have been completed rather than this abrupt abandonment. So the Tired Stone came from 15 leagues away, and a league is like, it's a one day's journey. It's 3 miles about. So it's about 45 miles from the site. And that is a long, long distance. That's where the stone quarry was. So it was carved out in one piece, and somehow, through, I believe, advanced transportation of the ancient astronauts, was brought, almost up to the site, the fortress of Sacsayhuaman, but never made it. So one of the Spanish priests talked to some of the Indians about this Tired Stone, and it was so tired it never made its destination. And they told him a story. They said, well, yeah, that was the stone that some of the Inca kings found, and they wanted to add it to the site. The Incas wanted to say that they had contributed to this great wall that was built a long lost time ago by the giants. And they got 20,000 Indians together, and they had all of these ropes and pulleys and cables, and they dragged this stone up the hill, and they guess that's a very dangerous proposition there to do something like that. Remember, this is 30 tons. That's 60,000 pounds. Well, they lost control of it. They lost their balance, and the stone rolled back down the hill. According to the story, it killed a couple thousand of these Indians. A very, very dangerous proposition, once again, to move this heavy stone up a hill. And they certainly never tried anything like that again. And once again, this anecdote or this story, if it's true, is, and I don't know why he would have reason to lie. I mean, that's kind of an embarrassing story. That's not something like prideful that you would tell about your family history. Is an indicator that it was another group that created these fortresses around Cuzco and Tiwanaku, the giant walls in these certain sections were created by another group, the Anunnaki, with advanced technology. And when the Indians tried to do it this one time, it was a colossal disaster and failure. So certainly the Indians did make many platforms and pyramids and ceremonial areas, but there's certain ones with very heavy, specifically carved out stones in a very specific construction or architectural manner that you can trace to the Anunnaki all around the world. It's the same construction method. Okay? So that's the key. And when you get into this research, it gets easier and easier to spot it, to see it, even through photographs. Okay, so now let's talk about the day the Earth stood still. By the way, the Anunnaki absolutely refer to a supreme being, a supreme god, a creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth. They were more like a god with a little g, okay? They were more advanced than humans. Humans somewhat saw them as gods. Some of them didn't. But there's a definite separation here. And once again, they do refer to a creator of the universe. And many people think that the Indians, all of their stories on their ancient writings are all mythology. But there was an incident that occurred. There was a day that the earth stood still. And it confirms to me that their ancient writings are not just fairy tales or mythology, that they are based on actual events and our actual history to be deciphered. Certainly, some of it is elaborated, but it's based on truth and fact, is what we believe in my field. So what happened in the Middle East around 1400 BC was the Jews were having an exodus and wandering the desert. And right around that time, the Bible talks about there was a whole day of sunlight, of sunshine. There was never night for about a 24-hour period. And you can certainly read this in the Bible. It's very curious. Scholars aren't sure what to do with it. I believe it was God kind of resetting a little bit of the rotation or something on Earth. And like God's hand, you know, on that one day. And the Bible says that there's never been a day like it before or since. Once again, it's called the day the Earth stood still. And what's mind-blowing is on the other side of the world, researchers have found that there was legends and stories about the day that the sun never appeared, the day there was an endless night. It was 24 hours of night. And they've tracked it down. They have a cycle of about 5,000 years. It's not the Mayan calendar. It's a little bit different cycle. And it kind of starts 3,000 BC. And if you add up the number of kings from this legend, like it's something like 35 kings. It's a bit complex. You get the same date. You get 1400 BC. There was this night of 24 hours. And it was so shocking and so horrifying to the groups that on the earth at this time that it became this story and legend that was passed down and never forgotten. And certainly if something like that happened to us, we would never forget it. So there was some kind of a little bit of a shift that happened on that day. And so we have the exact same time period in the Middle East and in Central America that these legends refer to, both sides of the world, one side in the Bible, it's written down, and you know, most people believe that the Bible is, you know, part of our history. Then I would argue that these Spanish legends and their ancient writings is also true. And once again, they have the same legend about the endless night. So now we're going to talk a little bit. I'm just going to throw in my just two cents about the election, and I'm going to keep it a little bit general. I saw Ralph Nader actually. He came to Portland this week. And he's, you know, he has his own party that he's running on. And just not only, he made an interesting point. He said that both of the two main parties have really approved of a military budget of $700 billion. That's billion with a B. And that neither party really has a problem with that, and they're actually asking for increases. And we have military in 70 countries all around the world. And so Eisenhower gave a warning in 1960 when he left office. He said, you have to beware of the military-industrial complex. And they give huge donations to the two main parties. So it's kind of like an endless cycle. These military contractors donate huge amounts of money to the two main parties, and the two main parties endorse a massive military budget of $700 billion that we both have to pay. So I do encourage you to look into third parties that are really, really serious about cutting back on this military budget that's actually going to drown us all. No country can sustain that kind of budget. And I don't care what your political beliefs are. That's just common sense. So one of the reasons I like being on this network is because Don Newsom, the president and creator of this network, he gets it. We've had conversations, and he gets it, that there has to be, you have to look at the New World Order. You have to understand what that is, New World Order. And if you pick up nothing else from tonight, go ahead and research that. Just start maybe on the Internet a little bit, and that can lead you to some good books on the subject. And learn about the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations is hugely powerful. And I think a good place to start is just go to Don's TNT news service, Trusted News Trader. It's on the main page of BBS Radio. It's right in the middle there. Just click it on, and I challenge you for 1 week to go to that page instead of turning on the news on the idiot box, the boob tube. And in 1 week, you know, you'll be so much more informed about what is going on backstage. And I, like I said, strongly consider some of these third parties, the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, Ralph Nader's party. Myself, I lean toward the Constitution Party. I'm open about, you know, who I am and what I believe, because I believe the Constitution is a precious document, and we're in danger of it disappearing, actually. So that is my two cents, because it's the election next week, okay? So let's move on and talk about my second DVD is The Temples of Stone, and I get into a lot of ancient mysteries and a few modern mysteries. But we're going to talk about ancient computers, and there was one that was found in Greece. So I'm going to read a little article and then comment. There's an ancient mechanical analog computer designed to calculate astronomical positions. It was discovered in the Antikythera Syra shipwreck off a Greek island and has been dated to about 80 BC, so 2,000 years ago. In 1902, archaeologist Valerios Stais noticed that a piece of rock was recovered from a site, and it had a gear wheel embedded in it. There was an actual gear inside of the rock. Upon examination, he found that the rock was, in fact, heavily encrusted and corroded mechanism made of bronze. It is one of the world's oldest gear mechanisms, centuries ahead of its time in the Industrial Revolution, when we saw a lot of devices with gears. The gear arrangement is composed of over 30 gears with teeth forming a complex mechanism. According to the Scientific American, it calculated the position of the sun, moon, and location of the planets. So to me, that's one more piece of evidence that goes into the pile, that there was advanced technology thousands of years ago, and it was being used for complex astronomical readings, and that's why so many of these pyramids and temples and sites are aligned to the phases of the moon or the equinoxes or the solstices or the sun or the moon, etc. These were complex calculations, and they were present on the Earth thousands of years ago. Okay, now let's talk about the Dogon tribe. There's an African tribe near Timbuktu called the Dogons. There's a cave in the mountains that has the drawings that are 700 years old. It is guarded by one of the holy men of the tribe. Inside the cave, there are drawings of Sirius A, which is the brightest star in the sky, right below the belt of Orion. The cave shows another smaller star called Sirius B, which rotates around Sirius A. The tribe says that it takes 50 years for B to rotate around A. They have drawings of this large and small star which depict a swirling rotation similar to a DNA strand. The amazing part of this story is that astronomers have validated the fact that indeed Sirius B does rotate around Sirius A every 50 years in the swirling type of rotation, exactly as the African tribe depicts in the cave drawings. The Dogon tribe also knew about the furthest planets in our solar system, such as Neptune and Uranus, though astronomers only discovered them, supposedly, in the last century. Naturally, scientists questioned the Dogons how they knew all of this, and the answer they got was certainly unexpected and outside their realm of study. The tribe showed them more drawings in the cave of a flying saucer landing on three legs. They told the scientists of beings who came out of the ship and communicated this celestial information to the tribe. So that's a pretty mind-blowing story, and it's fairly well-known in my field, the ancient astronaut field. It's another important piece of the puzzle, the Dogons, and, you know, when you look up at the sky at Sirius, it's just a little dot up there, and for them to know that a smaller planet was rotating around that is unbelievable. There were no telescopes back then, you know. And where else could they have gotten this knowledge but from space travelers? So anyway, that's an interesting anecdote. And let's move on and talk about Japan and Yanaguni. And if you look at my DVD, you'll see a picture of Yanaguni. It's an underwater site, an underwater city. And it dates back thousands of years. And that's called the Temples of Stone. So please go to my website. It's brand new. It's very clean and easy to read. There's just the three DVDs there, a picture of me, and I'm the one with the blonde hair. It's mysteryislands.net. And check out my three DVDs. They're on PayPal. You just push a button, and it's $20. I pay for your shipping and handling. I just shoot it out to you. And these are fascinating DVDs. They're actually my life's work and a labor of love. I've enjoyed bringing them to you. But it's a lecture of, I'm giving a lecture and giving you lots of pictures from all around the world. So there's a series of small islands to the south of Japan that were connected until the rising sea levels from the end of the last ice age over 9,000 years ago caused this piece of land to break up into a series of islands. So Japan used to be much bigger, and then after this ice age, then it basically became a series of islands due to the rising sea levels. So in 1985, there's a scuba diver who's able to dive very deeply. He was a pretty famous guy in Japan. And he was diving off the very last island, which is known as Yanaguni. And normally he was looking for sharks, but as he's diving down there a couple hundred feet, he finds staircases, and he finds, like, temples and chambers and pillars and some kind of ceremonial site. So it's pretty mind-blowing. And it ends up being about 600 feet from beneath the ocean surface. And some of the site is up to only 20 feet below the surface. So it's quite a wide range in this complex area. So then a lot of researchers come in, and there's great debate as to whether this is natural formation or artificial. And boy, if you look at these pictures in either in my DVD or online of Yanaguni, it's pretty clear to me, just using common sense, the way these are carved in such a precision manner that this is a natural, this is an artificial site and was made by some ancient group and could even be the long-lost remnants of Lemuria, the advanced culture in the Pacific Ocean. This could be one of the remnants right off the coast of Japan. So there's a Japanese expert on the ruins named Professor Kimura, and he argues that this site must be at least 9,000 years old, as that is the time that this chain of islands was above water and would have put this ancient monument on dry land. So, you know, it's interesting because it lies 54 degrees, excuse me, let me get this here on my notes, 54 degrees longitude to the east of the Cambodian Temple of Angkor Wat. And also when you do this research, you get a lot of numerology and multiples of 18, which would be 54 and 72. And if you know anything about precession, you will know that 72 is a very key component to precession. And that has to do with the 26,000 years of the Mayan calendar and how our Earth supposedly goes through this cycle of 26,000 years. And the Earth does a little shift or wobble every 72 years, and that's why that number is important. So it's complex. It's very complex, and I try to break it down to just the most simple and important components as we go through this material. So man and serpent, let's talk about that. There's a pretty amazing monument. If you type in man and serpent in your computer, you should see it. It's in Central America. It shows a man with all kinds of headgear, and he's wearing even like a headpiece, like something you would see today, like a cell phone. And he's wearing this very elaborate helmet with a light shining out of it. It's clearly like advanced machinery. It's not that shocking to me because I've seen so many other stone pictograms from thousands of years ago of people in like astronaut suits or wearing kind of elaborate costumes or advanced machinery being used, or guns. I mean, even helicopters and things like that. I've seen a lot of this, so it wasn't too shocking to me. But anyway, and he's wearing a helmet, and there's a snake in the background, and that's most likely Quetzalcoatl, who was the feathered serpent, the Anunnaki god with a lower G, who really was kind of like the father of that civilization, who came over from the Middle East and brought advanced knowledge and technology. And, of course, he was interested in gold mining, so I believe this helmet with a light shining on it that's in the man and serpent bas relief or wall relief is an underground mining tool that they were using to blast for gold and dig out all of those ingots and nuggets that the Anunnaki needed. They were very clear they needed it for their home planet, for Nibiru, for Planet X. They wanted to spray it into the atmosphere. They had a lot of problems with wars and pollution, and boy, does that sound familiar. I don't believe it was a warrior's helmet. I think it was a miner's helmet that he was wearing. So please look at that pictogram. And he was also carrying, it's called a citula. It's like a container or a purse that so many of the Egyptian demigods also carried. So that's a direct connection to the Anunnaki gods of Egypt as well. There's so many connections between the Egyptian pyramids and symbolism and what happened later in Central America. I could go on and on, but that's just one piece once again. So let's talk about Uxmal. That's a very large site in Central America. There's 12 main buildings, and this researcher, Stansbury Hager, was there for many, many years, and he finally realized that the 12 buildings are mirrors of the 12 zodiac constellations in the sky. Like, for instance, there would be like a triangular building, and that would refer to, you know, the triangular star constellation of Aries or what have you. And some of the bigger buildings would correspond to some of the larger constellations in the sky. So, for instance, one was called the House of the Magician, and that was aligned with the stars that form Scorpio. So each building in the ancient city was designed in the shape of its corresponding zodiac sign. He came to the conclusion that these great structures were based upon the belief that everything in this world is a shadow or reflection of the perfect reality that exists in the celestial heavens. This complex city is a testament to the Mayans' incredible competence as astronomers. The development of a precise calendar is yet another example of immense complexity. It features exact calculations of the moon's orbit around the Earth and the revolutions of Venus, just among a few examples. Where did they get that knowledge? I believe from the ancient astronauts, the Anunnaki, once again. In the Bible, they were referred to as the fallen angels, or the Nephilim, or sometimes the Rephaim, or the Anakim. There's different names, but they were mentioned briefly all throughout the Old Testament. You can look it up. And we're going to have the second half of this program is Linda Torres. She does angel readings, free angel readings. She'll be coming up soon. We take a little pause, and then she comes on. So last time, please go to my website and support my show with the purchase of the DVDs. My first one, The Sands of Time. The second one, The Temples of Stone. And my latest one, Mystery Islands. And that's the name of the website, mysteryislands.net. And the $20 at PayPal, and if you've enjoyed this past half hour, it's just a little taste of what you're going to do, except I don't use a scattershot approach. In my DVDs, it's very methodical and very organized, and I really build a story and explain all the complexities of the Anunnaki and really their agenda and what they wanted to do here on Earth, and that's just this giant piece of our history that's been missing, that's been exercised or taken out. Interestingly, in a lot of primitive cultures, if you go to the South Pacific, they never had that chapter removed. So they talk pretty freely about the gods and what the gods were doing there. Or if you go to India, you can read some of their ancient writings like the Vedas, and they're very clear on it, on the Anunnaki and what they were doing there. It was never really exercised out of their history. But it was in Western culture, for sure. So mysteryislands.net, please check that out. And I do hear the beep, so what I'm going to do is sign off. We have free angel readings tonight with Linda Torres, and we're going to have a minute of music and then come back with the second half of the show. Thank you very much. Take a journey around the globe on Odyssey Radio every other Monday at 8 p.m. We explore ancient mysteries such as Stonehenge, Easter Island, the pyramids of Mexico and Egypt, lost cities of gold in Peru, the mystical city of Machu Picchu, ancient maps of Atlantis, and so much more. We examine in detail the Sumerian clay tablets, which date back 6,000 years, and describe an advanced group of beings known as the Anunnaki.
You will become familiar with obscure temples in Cambodia and the South Pacific and learn their hidden secrets. On Odyssey, we also learn about modern-day mysteries such as crop circles and the Mayan calendar. Join all the fun every other Monday at 8 p.m. Check out dozens of archives and ancient mystery DVDs at the Odyssey webpage.
And welcome back to Odyssey. I'd like to introduce Linda Torres. She's going to talk about archangels and give free angel readings. So call in right now.
Hi, good evening, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Linda. Let's give out the number right away.
Sure. The number is 1-877-876-5227, and that's a toll-free number.
Okay. What have you got for us with archangels tonight?
Well, I do have some messages from the archangels. So I just, you know, first of all, I just want to invite them tonight, you know, to be with us during this time. So I'd like to invite all the angels and archangels to be with us. For anyone who calls in tonight, to give your loving guidance to all those who need support and blessings. So thank you for being here, angels. So, you know, I was listening to your program a little bit earlier.
Sure.
And you were talking about the light. It's so funny because the message I got this morning, I wrote it down, was about, you know, having more faith with all these changes that are going on during this time in the United States and on the earth. We need to believe, you know, that the angels are really helping us every moment and that these changes that are going on is because it's time for that cleansing, you know, for that change for this new earth. And it's a new earth of light. So we need to remember that the light is much more powerful than any fear, than any greed, than any corruption, you know, abuse of power that goes on because when we try to align with the angels mostly, you know, they fill us with this light. And it's really important to remember that they're with us, supporting us all the time. Another important thing they told me is that, you know, when we use our words, how powerful they are, our thoughts and our feelings. So when we use those in a positive way, that's the only way we can bring peace and victory, you know, to our world, to our country at this really difficult time. So it was, I really liked how that connected to what you were saying about the day, you know, that stood still. And
yeah.
So that was very interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that was God's hand adjusting things at that time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I really want to invite anybody to call in, and I'll answer any questions you like. The angels are assisting us. If you want a reading, you know, I'll give you a 4 or 5 minute reading. Because the angels do assist us. You know, they assist us with so much love and joy. And they're really here to help us. Mostly I love to work with the archangels because they're so powerful. You know, they're the most important messengers in the celestial hierarchy. And they oversee our guardian angels. And so, the angels and archangels are the ones who are most closest to mankind. So that's why they work with us. And you know, they have so many functions. But the most important is that they assist and support us and achieve our goals and needs. So, you know, they're friendly, they're kind, and they're loving. And they just love us to call upon them because to serve us is to serve God. So,
But they have to be asked, right?
They have to ask, yes, always ask. Because, if you don't ask, and that's something also very important that I'm always reminded also, is that they amplify, you know, our petitions, our requests, so they amplify whatever we ask for.
We have a call.
Hey, who's the beep? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
You're on.
Who is?
Hello?
Yes, what's your name?
My name is Jordy.
Hi, Jordy. How are you? How can I help you?
I just had a question.
Sure.
I hear you speaking about all the faults and things that are happening in the world right now.
Uh-huh.
Evil and such. Do you believe that there's another bad angels?
Bad angels, no.
Or, because if there's, where does the evil come from? I guess what I'm trying to...
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Once I told someone, I don't like to talk a lot about evil. There is evil definitely in the world, but there's it's a lot of negativity patterns. The evil came into this world because we have our free will. So when, you know, when creation began, we came with negative and positive. There is a lot of negative entities right now around us. But as I was just saying, Jordy, I don't know if you were listening, you know, that the light is much more powerful. And you're able to surround yourself with more light to not be attacked by this negativity or this evil. It does exist. It does. But let me tell you again, the light is much more powerful than any evil that exists. So you can be reassured that the angels will fulfill you with much more love and light than what the evil can do to you. As long as it's your will to be asking the angels for that support and that help.
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yeah, a little bit.
What else can I help you?
Do you want a reading?
No, that's okay.
You don't want a reading?
I guess I can go for a reading.
Okay. Do you need anything special to know, or do you want just some guidance?
Yeah, guidance would be good. I'm kind of checking in with my jobs right now. I was wondering if that's going to work.
With your job?
Yeah.
So let me touch base here with the angels. Okay, the angels are talking that you have a lot of knowledge, Jordi. It seems that you want to learn a lot of things. Pay attention to your thoughts and your ideas that come to you, like the question that you were just asking previously, because it seems that your prayers are being answered and you're having a lot of support. So you have a lot of knowledge that's coming to you because you're your curiosity is opening up much more. There's also some prosperity coming into your life, so your material needs are really are being provided for, and your dreams are also being manifested. Are you working in anything special right now?
I have a few. I'm a painter, and I have a couple big jobs coming up, but I'm not sure if they're gonna stick around or not.
Okay, so what they're telling me is that you need to keep the faith. You need to keep that. Like a childlike faith, you know, how children believe so much and they're so pure and innocent. You have to have that childlike innocence and that faith that things are occurring for good for you right now. Even in this chaos that you see and that you see around you, things are not happening very well financially. For you, prosperity is coming. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Jordi.
Thank you for calling in, Jordi.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So you'll take questions about angels as well, correct?
You know, if anybody wants a question, I will, and I'll just answer whatever they need to know.
Right, absolutely. And I think if people kind of, like, obsess or put their attention on, like, demons or bad angels, then they will probably manifest that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you have to raise your vibration at a certain level where you don't have that... that attachment with negativity. I think that a lot of people right now are living in fear, and it's, you know, it's normal. We're human. We all have that. But it's necessary for the change.
We have a call.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. This is Noella calling from Canada.
Oh, hi. What is your name again?
Noella. It's like Christmas.
Oh, Noella. How nice.
Yeah, well, thank you. I've had a lot of epiphanies where... I pretty well got rid of my ego battle. I'm still aware of it, but pretty well over it. So I was just asking, what kind of angel protection could I ask for to keep me in this state that I like, which is just happy, living in the now?
Okay, what I'm hearing right now, and I just am looking at my cards right now, the first archangel that comes out is Gabriel. So Gabriel, what he wants you to do is to nurture yourself. You know how Gabriel is a messenger of love and bringer of good news,
okay. And
he also takes care of children. He also wants you to be like a childlike, you know, have that faith of a child.
Oh, I get that now, and I'm 55, so.
Oh, well, that's okay. Any age is okay. Just to have that, you know, that
wisdom, but childlike and appreciation.
Yes.
Yes.
And he wants you to nurture yourself, you know, to have those activities where you feel good.
Yes.
And that will help you raise your vibration, definitely.
Wonderful.
Listening to music, if you have some kind of, you know, talent, creative part of you that you like to do.
Well, music has helped a lot because it gets your thoughts out of your head. And you just, you know, that's killing the thoughts, the mind. And
uh-huh.
I'm trying to fill my heart with love and kill the mind. You know what I mean? It's not kill the mind. I mean, you need your mind to function. But the I am is very, very...
Affirmations, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're talking about a little bit. Your thoughts are so, so important. That is true.
Yes.
Your words, your
feelings
as well.
Just I am. So labels are gone, you know.
So do you do affirmations like I am surrounded with light and I'm
okay.
surrounded with
yes,
peace?
Yes, I do. And actually, I had an angel intervention years ago where I should have been killed by a bus
mm-hmm.
coming up behind another bus, which I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, time stopped and I was pulled back and I just saw sort of like a white mist. And I thought somebody actually pulled me back, but there was nobody there. They were still too far away from me.
That was absolutely your guardian angel.
Yeah, that was beautiful. But I actually broke down and cried because I thought, geez, I should have been dead. You know, I knew it was that close.
Well, Noella, definitely you have something more to do in this life, so.
I guess so, eh?
They're protecting you and taking good care of you, so.
Well, I'll tell you, that really made me feel I wasn't alone, and that was special, and it's something you won't forget.
Definitely, definitely. That brings
you
a lot of peace.
Yes.
So remember just to, you know, be a little bit more compassionate of you and take care of you.
Yes, I will.
Because you remember that when you take care of you, you can help others better.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate that. So, Gabriel, because I was talking to Michael, so.
Gabriel is also with you.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Noella,
so
for calling in.
Yes,
thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. Blessings.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for the free readings, because normally when you call a intuitive on a phone reading, it's, you know, $60 or $70 an hour. So thank you for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it, you know, it's part of, I feel so joyful when I'm able to do this and give messages.
Right. Keep calling in. What's your website?
So my website is angelsarenearus.com, and that's angels, A-N-G-E-L-S, and R-A-R-E, near, N-E-A-R-U-S.com.
And you're available for private readings off the air.
For private readings, phone readings, you know, if anyone is not in the area, because I'm in the Portland, Oregon area, so I have my office in Beaverton, so I could give you also my number, which is 503-807-0896.
Okay, let's call in for free readings, 877-876-5227. You all know where the numbers are on the front page. I'm going to try to stump you. Here's an angel I guess a lot of people don't know about. Tell me about Sandalphon.
Oh, Sandalphon. He is a musical angel.
Okay.
Yeah, he was formerly the prophet Elijah, and he ascended into being an archangel because of his virtuous life that he had. But he works with musicians, and he uses music also for healing purposes. So he helps people with any tendencies, like aggressive tendencies. He helps people with any addictions, and he also helps those who love to heal, like, you know, nurses and doctors. He can help all kinds of healers, light worker healers. So Sandalphon does that.
So similar to Raphael, then?
Raphael assists healers, and, well, it's similar, but Raphael provides healing in all, you know, physical, spiritual, every area of our life. So Raphael is really the one who heals. He's called He Who Heals. Sandalphon helps a little bit, but through the music.
Okay.
Through the music he does that.
I didn't know he was Elijah in the Bible.
He was Elijah. He was the prophet Elijah.
Oh. Yeah.
And the other archangel who was a prophet before he passed on is Metatron. He was the prophet Enoch.
Right. He never died, correct?
He never died. And he ascended just, you know, directly after such a wonderful spiritual life as well. He lived 365 years, Prophet Enoch.
Wow. Now, that Metatron is a power angel. I'll tell you a little story. I know Carlos Santana, when he could not get a hit record or a contract or anything, he called upon Metatron,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of years ago, and had a huge hit record.
Oh.
And he called the record Supernatural, and that's why he did that.
That's why he did that.
He put Metatron on the cover. But talk about how Metatron is like a power angel.
Well, he absolutely, he works with a lot of children as well. He heals a lot of learning disorders in childhood. And he is, in the Jewish text, Metatron is really the one who is like one of the main archangels. And he also works with indigo and crystal children. And he watches over a lot of children in heaven as well. So he's a very powerful, powerful archangel.
How can people... Oh, we have a caller. Go ahead.
Hello?
You're
Hello.
On.
Hi.
Hi, who's calling?
My name's Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Fine. How can I help you? Do you like a reading?
Yeah, I would love a reading. And I guess I feel like I've sort of hit a dead end in my life, and I just kind of wanted some guidance.
Okay. So, guidance. So there's something that you're, a project that you're starting, something to do that is making you very excited, because Archangel Ariel is with you right now, and she is saying that don't hold back right now. This is the perfect timing to do what you want to do. You're ready, you know, to fly. And Archangel Ariel is also an archangel who helps you financially. So if that has been something that has been holding you back, she wants you to know that you're ready to do this. This is the time to do it. It seems that you've done this already in the past. It's not something that you have not experienced. There's also, does this make sense to you? Hello?
What? Sorry, what?
Does this make sense to you, what Ariel is saying?
Yeah, it kind of does, actually.
Okay. There's something else that they want me to tell you. This is Archangel Raguel. And Raguel, she works with relationships. She brings harmony to all relationships, and she wants you to know that the hearts of everyone is being open right now. You know, the arguments are being resolved, and you're able to work through any kind of discussion, any kind of argument that's going on in your life right now with a partner or with any other relationship that's close to you.
Hmm.
Okay?
Good to know. Thank you.
How does that sound?
That's great. Perfect.
Okay, and remember also that Michael came out right now. So Michael is saying that you're safe in doing whatever you want to do in that endeavor that you're starting or you're planning on doing, that you're very safe right now. You're protected. So don't even worry about anything that can bring you fear, because you need to overcome that. Michael is with you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yes.
Bye, Hannah.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. We have time for one or two more calls. I know there's that shy person out there, right, Linda?
Yeah, trying to call in.
That shy person, well, you just have to take a chance.
Yeah, just take the chance. You know, it's so important sometimes just to get that one archangel that you know is working with you and helping you out. And, you know, in general, that's what they do. They're like specialists. I see the archangels like the specialists, that when you need something special, in your life, a relationship, you know, your finances, just call on the archangels because they have their specialties.
Right. Call in right now, 877-876-5227. And you also have a store you work out of, right?
I work out of Beaverton, Oregon at Crystal Heart Wellness.
Okay.
And we're on Washington and 2nd Street. And, again, I'm going to give you my cell number, which is 503-807-0896. And it's angelsarenearus.com. And you can contact me for any phone readings. I do archangel readings, angel readings. I do the saint and angels, the ascended masters. So I can help you with any kind of reading with the angels.
Right. And so, you know, we'll do a free reading tonight. You know, we have 5 or 10 minutes.
Free readings tonight.
And then much more in-depth with a private reading, right?
It's much more in-depth. Yeah, usually I do half-hour readings or one-hour readings. And definitely it's much more in-depth, much more information. You get to know most of the angels and archangels that are with you, your guardian angels. Sometimes I do a small meditation to help people with any kind of problems they're having.
Okay, and it helps if people see your picture. You know, you're a really nice person, and what's the website again so they can see your picture?
Excuse me?
The website so they can see your picture?
Oh, the website is angelsarenearus.com.
Okay. So we were talking, I feel like if they know the personalities and the characteristics, it helps, don't you think?
It does help, mostly because you can know, you know, you can always, people have been asking, you know, why is it so important to talk to angels or archangels? Because, you know, they're really these messengers, these emissaries of light that bring forth whatever you need
they bring in that light and that hope and that confidence, and they give you that courage. It's really, it's just comforting to know that, that they're there around us. And there's so many, there's so many angels.
Right.
You know, like you were saying, there's all these kind of angels in the Bible since the first day of creation. So it's really supporting and to know that, that they're with us all the time.
Well, we talked about a few male angels. Why don't you, wait, we got a call. Go
okay,
ahead.
One more call. Who is this?
Hi, Jackie.
This is you?
Jackie, uh-huh.
What is your name?
Jackie.
Oh, Jackie, sorry. I couldn't hear you well. How are you, Jackie?
I'm fine.
Okay, do you have a question or do you want some guidance from the angel?
Just some guidance.
Okay. Let's see what they say. For Jackie. Okay, Jackie, I have Archangel Jophiel. I have two archangels. Archangel Jophiel and Archangel Chamuel. So let me tell you about Jophiel. She is Archangel of Beauty. She beautifies our surroundings. And she also loves to be in nature. She wants you to enjoy the beauty of nature. She wants you to go outside more, to take some fresh air, to connect with nature, because it seems like you need some kind of healing right now. And sometimes when you go out to nature, besides healing, she's saying that it gives you a lot of creativity. It gives you more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Well, yeah. She must have been with me today, because I was out in nature today enjoying the beauty of my own surroundings.
How wonderful. Definitely.
Yeah.
She wants you to do that more because it's very comforting for you. It's very healing.
Yeah.
There's, quickly, I just want to tell you, because if we don't run out of time.
We have 3 minutes.
There's Archangel Chamuel. And he is an archangel who helps us with our careers. So I don't know, he's saying something about there's a change in your career, in your job, but there's something better coming.
Oh, good. I'm actually retired.
You're retired. Are you doing anything else in your...
Well, I just do volunteer work, and I work in my grandson's classroom, but I would like to find something that where I can earn a little extra cash.
Yeah. Well, you know that when we talk about careers, it's also something that you love to do. That's what's mostly important, because
mm-hmm.
what you love to do is not really a job, but it's something that you can be, you have the talent in doing, you have the creativity, and so something like that is coming for you.
Well, I would like that very much.
Yeah, so you know, just call more upon Archangel Chamuel.
How
and
do you spell this?
He will definitely help you with anything that you need.
How do you spell Chamuel?
It's Chamuel, and he is called He Who Sees God.
He Who Sees God.
He Who Sees God, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
And Jophiel, remember, she's the beauty of God, so she's also surrounding you with a lot of beauty.
And what is her name again?
Her name is Jophiel. That's Jophiel.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Jackie, for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take care.
Bye now.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left. I want to remind the listeners we're on every 2 weeks, every other week. So why don't you give a final message and your final contact info, Linda?
Yes, okay. So just don't forget that the angels assist us with so much love and joy. They love us to call upon them, because remember that they're here to help us. And I just want to, you know, send lots of love and blessings, angel blessings to everyone out there. Thank you for being with us tonight. Have a wonderful week. And the angels definitely will help you go vote for the right person.
And what's your website?
My website is angelsarenearus.com, 503-807-0896, if you want to contact me for an angel reading.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining Odyssey.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, Linda.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.